He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday post big jobs report day edition of the Best Stocks Now show with Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. And we have a mixed market here so far. We were positive in, across the board, but now we've got a little bit of a downdraft here in the NASDAQ. But as of now, the Dow is up fairly strongly. It's up 200 points, 40 basis points, remains above 50,000. It's at 50,323. The NASDAQ is down 64. It's at 23,001. The S&P is up 6 points. It's at 6,947. Hopefully we'll be seeing 7,000 before too long. The Russell 2000 up a little bit here so far. What else do we have here? Gold down a little bit today. Gold, however, has reclaimed that 5,000 mark. But gold is down a few basis points here today, as is silver. The 10-year's down to 4.14 right now, backing off a little bit from yesterday's jump after that big jobs report. And last but not least, how is Bitcoin faring today? It's up $667, but it remains at $67,892. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. Our article got a little bit of traction yesterday. We actually gave our current ranking and feelings and opinion of Meta. Meta also, I heard later in the day that, who's that big money manager back, hedge fund manager, one of the big guys back there with the silver hair. I can't think of his name right now, but he is a big proponent and been buying Meta himself. It's amazing how great minds think alike, Barry. He was also saying that, you know, this is the most undervalued of the big tech stocks right now. And he is a buyer of Meta. So it's always good to get in the mouth of two witnesses, right? Einhorn, not Einhorn. The other guy, Barry, he's in the new Ackman, Bill Ackman.
Bill Ackman, yeah, that's who I was thinking, but I could see his face, but I couldn't come up with his name.
Yeah, very distinguished-looking guy, you know. He looks smart, and I don't know how he's done over the years, what his track record is like, but if he likes Meta and he thinks it's cheap, that's in agreement with us, and I'm all for him. The markets were just slightly up yesterday. They got a strong start. Okay, you had that big jobs report, which has really kind of turned the narrative around rather quickly. I think Trump needed that big jobs report because it's kind of been several very weak reports in a row, and that kind of turned the narrative around with a very strong report.
Yeah, it was interesting where, you know, kind of when you read between some of the dive into some of the various hiring sectors, it sounds like, you know, essentially it was a lot of healthcare workers hired and not many, you know, not in, you know, other areas not having as much hiring. So
well, and government workers were way down. So and that's been one of his, he's trying to privatize the economy away from government spending.
Well, I heard him say. I think it was, I don't know, last week or so, where he said, "If government is usually one of the bigger hires, and he says, if I want, you know, unemployment to go to this rate, he goes, all I got to do is hire a bunch of federal workers,
well,
right?
That's basically what Biden did for several years, just juicing the government sector with a lot of fat and waste, more than likely, but." That's the way government is. Now, the surprising thing for me yesterday, I did look at a lot of charts yesterday. Boy, the number one sector in the market right now, bar none, is the oil and gas sector. The drillers, the even the producers, the small natural gas companies, the drillers, the field equipment, the Halliburtons, the Schlumbergers, SLB, definitely the strongest sector. Precious metals had a good day yesterday also, and some pockets of AI. Today I saw a couple. We have a couple big winners. At least they were. Seagate was.
Right.
I don't
they
know
were
if
before
they
you
held
got on
to those gains, but Seagate and Western Digital were out of the gate very, very quickly here this morning with like 5 to 6% gains. That's a good thing. And
I saw an interesting. Along those memory lines, I saw talk about how that price, you know, obviously that high price is good for Western Digital, MU, and the others. But I saw where Cisco had a pretty
it's bad for them.
Had some dips on their margins because they're having to pay so much for the memory side of it. So
yes, they're having to pay for that higher memory. And I'm going to give you a way to play. Samsung reported earnings, and of course, Samsung is also part of that big explosion in the memory chips.
Yep.
And the other one, they're both South Korean companies. You really can't play them individually, but I did find an ETF that between those two stocks, 50% of that ETF is those two stocks.
Okay, yeah.
And it's EWY, I believe. Let me take a look and make sure that's right, which I have a keen interest in because that Hynix company is coming out with a bunch of HBM chips, and they're trying to fill the shortage right now of those memory chips. And that is a way to get exposure to that red-hot sector. It's EWY, which is iShares MSCI South Korea. And I looked up its holdings yesterday, and sure enough, 50% of that ETF is those two stocks. And it's hitting a new high today. It's up 1.93%. So that's one of the things we do is we look for ways to get exposure to some of these great areas in the market. And, you know, you look at a chart of Samsung, SSNLF, and it's unplayable. I mean, it hardly ever trades. For the general public, it's just not. But
it's basically a placeholder.
And the other one is not traded at all. Through this ETF, which is another way, I mean, to get exposure to some of these stocks that trade on other exchanges that we don't have access to, that seems to be the best way to do it.
Yeah, it's good. I had a client ask me yesterday, actually.
Yeah, somebody asked us that question, and so I went searching. And I have noticed that EWY has been hitting new highs. It's showing up on my momentum list. And, of course, the app measures momentum, not just individual stocks, but also ETFs show up a lot of times, and they're experiencing a lot of momentum. Initial jobless claims slightly higher than expected in the past week, but, yeah, it's still low. 227,000 is very low. It remains low, so that's two good jobs reports in a row, although it did come in a little bit higher than expected, and it must have been higher because we're seeing interest rates go down on that news today, which is a good thing. Interest rates react to these jobs reports. They're very, very keenly watching and very sensitive.
Yeah, and bad news. Jobs. Yeah, bad economic news is good news for interest rates. Meaning, usually, tends to make interest rates go down.
If you got a very, very weak jobs report and a very big jump in unemployment claims, you would see interest rates go down because they would already start pricing in a rate cut within the next couple of meetings at the Fed, which right now. I would say that the odds of a rate cut, there's two words that come to mind, slim and none are the two words, which I used to hear from my mother.
a lot.
What's the chances of me going to the movies with my buddies? This slim and none.
Yeah.
Is your homework
maybe
done?
Was
no.
what you wanted to hear was maybe, because that one
that always left the door open
pretty well. Yeah, usually.
You could work a maybe, but yeah. Slim and none was like just say no, Mom.
It's a hard no. That's what they cook kids now. It's a hard no.
Yeah, I could see Jerome Powell with his arms folded, looking down at Trump over his glasses, saying, "Don't even think about it." Cisco Systems. We'll get to them. They reported earnings. They've benefited somewhat, I think, from the boom in AI, but like Barry said, this time they're being hurt a little bit. And we got McDonald's weighing in. You know, that's a good consumer stock. Gives us the a little bit of flavor there on how the consumer is doing right now. And what about this big sell-off in the real estate, real estate data stocks yesterday? We'll be right back. Second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, earnings season continues in full swing. Tonight we get Airbnb, Roku, Twilio, Agnico Eagle Mines, which has been one of the hottest stocks in the entire market, believe it or not. It's a gold miner. DraftKings will report, Rivian, Arista Networks, that's an important one in that in the AI space, data center space. Tomorrow we get Moderna, which got a snub yesterday from the FDA on their latest experimental flu vaccine. And with RFK Jr. At the helm, it's going to be hard to get any vaccines by him, it seems like. That will round out this week of earnings. And by the end of the week, we'll probably have about 65-70% of the companies reporting. And it's been another very good earnings season. We're looking for another double-digit gain year-over-year in earnings. That's a phenomenal win streak that we've had with these earnings seasons, which are a big part of my profession. Each quarter as they trickle in, watching those earnings and the aggregate thereof, which I use as my basis for my entire macro outlook on the market, which has led me to be right more often than not for the last, since 2009 when earnings bottomed. And this is now 2026, 17 years of growing earnings in the S&P 500. Outside of that COVID year and one other little year where there was just a little notch downwards, other than that, it's been a beautiful thing to behold. Okay, we haven't heard much from the small nuke sector. It has really fallen out of favor, I can tell you that. And as I went through the charts yesterday, I was telling you about the energy being the best sector in the market right now. But I continue to see some really ugly charts out there. And these small nuke stocks, and here's one of the reasons why, SMR, NuScale, is cut to a hold at TD Cowen, this was yesterday, as their first SMR project might be delayed to 2034, Barry.
Long duration, that's what we said.
Yeah, 2030, wow. That's a long time to sit and hold the stock waiting for a product. Then I see there was some news on the stock today that they're teaming up with somebody and the stock's up a little bit. But those long-term stocks, not doing well at all. Rare Earth, not doing well. The nuke stocks, not doing well. But how about Adobe hitting new lows? Ugly chart. Amazon's got an ugly chart all of a sudden because of their big spending.
Software apocalypse, right?
The software apocalypse continues. Bitcoin has an ugly chart. It continues to have an ugly chart. Salesforce has a lousy chart. Carvana, which I never understood anyways as a hot stock. DoorDash is hitting new lows. Robinhood got whacked yesterday. Looks horrible. Lyft, which is Uber's competitor. And Uber chart looks bad. Microsoft chart looks bad. Netflix looks bad. ServiceNow. And on and on and on. Even Palantir, not a very good-looking chart whatsoever. And yesterday, it was the Zillows, the CBRE, the Jones Lang LaSalle, Cushman and Wakefield. Real estate service stocks experienced a significant sell-off on Wednesday as investors assessed the sector's vulnerability to artificial intelligence disruption. In other words, people would say, why do I need to pay for the reports? I remember the Dodge reports. I remember my family's sign and billboard business. We used to get the Dodge reports. And they were, you know, breaking ground, permits taken out on housing tracks and whatnot, because we did a lot of business with the housing, home builders and whatnot.
You need to know where the traffic patterns were going, too.
Yes, where permits are, traffic patterns, where they're breaking down, where new communities have been approved and everything. And the thinking is there, you know, and they were expensive to get the Dodge reports. I mean, everybody was after, whether it was a plumbing contractor, a framing contractor, an advertising company. You've got a new master plan community that's been approved, and there's a lot of work for a lot of people there, and all these subs would be looking at these Dodge reports that came out. It was very, very important. And now, I guess, you know, that a lot of this stuff is available through artificial intelligence. So they're calling it the AI scare trade. And it has bashed. We just went through all of these stocks that are hitting new 52-week lows with no bottom in sight, and it's pretty much what they're calling SaaS, service, software as a service, Armageddon. And whether it's overdone or not, well, as long as these stocks are getting pounded, it's pretty hard to say it's overdone. Well, and it's time to jump in and buy because they haven't even found a bottom yet.
Yeah, and it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. I mean, you've got you don't want to fight against that narrative at the moment, right? I mean, you've talked about last week not you know, trying to catch a falling knife. You know, this narrative, I mean, it's probably not going to go away for an extended period of time. AI is changing things, and you know how it's going to change things is kind of the tricky part. And so, you know, there's just a lot of risk in those names trying to go against the tide of consensus, I guess.
And then there's, you know, individual disruptors, obviously, that come along. That sports betting sector, I was reading about Kalshi's, they had a huge win in the Super Bowl with their marketing blitz. And, of course, that blows up DraftKings, Flutter, MGM, Fanatics. All of a sudden, Kalshi and Poly Markets have arrived on the scene. They're private companies, but they're just disrupting that entire. Look, I go back to the days when my father had to call a bookie, which wasn't exactly going online to a legit service, right? Right. He'd get some hot tip from a buddy about a horse running at Santa Anita, and he could get some action down. He didn't have time to drive out to Santa Anita to put some action down. He needed an intermediary. He would call a bookie who would book the bet, right? Usually it's a pretty good deal booking a bet because most people's bets go south and you keep the money as the bookie. So anyways, I've seen that whole industry being disrupted by these prediction markets, and now I'm seeing a lot of these big brokerage houses starting to get into the predictions market. I don't know. Well, when we come back, we're going to talk about some of these earnings that are coming in. It's still, we're drinking out of a fire hose right now. And we're going to give a little bit of update on a couple of important stocks like Palantir, the drone stock, etc.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Just a little bit more color on this this AI replacement theory. What industries will AI disrupt? And, you know, especially anybody that charges a big fee for doing something, and if you can get it for free, or for very little from AI, there's where your vulnerability is. And I noticed here Anthropic released Claude Coworker earlier, I think that was last week, and it automated professional workflows in the legal and financial sectors, which caused LegalZoom and QuickBooks provider Intuit. Would it do your bookkeeping for you?
It had some kind of had some tax. I think it had some kind of tax info or tax benefits in there. And actually, some of the broker dealers actually hit yesterday.
Earlier this week, wealth manager stocks got slammed following the release of Altruis tax planning tool called Hazel. You've been replaced by Hazel. You've got a CPA there in the firm, and Hazel's going to take over your desk here. Hazel leading to declines for LPL Financial, Charles Schwab, Ameriprise, Raymond James, etc. The theme here is disruption, with these high-fee businesses considered vulnerable to new AI tools and automation. Okay, now right now it's kind of a theory. It's not showing up yet. But, where would it show up? It would show up in earnings. All of a sudden, you're seeing earnings not growing anymore for the S&P 500 because AI, it could be our worst enemy at the end of the day if it really cuts into earnings of companies that make a living by charging for their services. I think personally the winners and losers. There's going to be losers and there's going to be winners in all of this.
Yeah, and I mean, it's cutting into is free cash flow because these companies are having to spend. I mean, to stay, stay where they are, they're having to spend a lot of money. Google, for example, seems to be spending a lot of money, and of course on the search side, they're trying to just maintain the dominance that they've already had. Obviously, with Gemini and other things, they've got some growth opportunities, but they're kind of on the fence. One side trying to protect what they've had, and then on the other side trying to innovate. Right.
Yeah, and nowhere have I seen it more manifest itself than in this service software as a service. That software sector, I saw it started to go about 2 or 3 months ago, and I warned in the newsletter where that's one of the sectors that I look at every Saturday. I said, this does not look good. And eventually it's going to infect, could infect the entire market, especially the NASDAQ. And I'm just looking at Palantir here today. That's still not a pretty chart at all. It's an ugly chart. And, we sold Palantir at 171. That's 40 points ago. Now, would artificial intelligence have made the same decision that I made? I made the decision based on looking, visually looking at the chart and saying this is breaking support. And obviously, we know it's vulnerable. It still has a PE of 181, even with this sell-off that it's had. High PE stocks are always vulnerable, but there's no bottom to this chart yet. Maybe way down around 100. You're at 131 right now on Palantir, and that chart is still pointing down. It's in a number four downtrend. 1, 2, 3, 4. It's a very simple system that I use in looking at stock charts. And I look at, you know, they develop day by day. Those stock charts develop. And I can even tell when there's an inflection point where I say, you know what? This is turning negative. This is going sour, Barry. And you want to get out of the way.
Well, in that chart too, I mean, in terms of the company, I mean, it moved so, you know, so fast in the upward direction that, you know, when you have charts that do that, you're not creating any support levels along the way. So then when you do come, you know, when you do kind of have that downturn, you know, where the support level is can be a lot, you know, far, far away from where the stock price is. So.
I would say crypto is still looking for a bottom. The chart on crypto has not found a bottom yet. I mean, there may be support at 60,000. We thought there was support at 100,000. We thought there was support at 80,000. And we found out, no, like a hot knife going through butter, that support did not hold at all. And this remains a very, you don't want to buy weak charts. You want to buy solid charts. You want to sell weak charts. And yet, you know, I mean, we've heard Wedbush saying all the way down, you should step in. These are the 10 software stocks that you should own. Then there are all these stocks that are hitting new lows. And I don't buy into that philosophy. That's being more passive than active. And sometimes there's another expression for that back in the 2000s, hope and pray. You're hoping and praying that it finds a bottom and it turns around. That's not a good strategy. You have to use logic. You cannot deny what your eyes are telling you, what your brain is telling you, what your gut is telling you. Now, can AI pick up on all of those emotions and whatnot? I don't know. We'll find out. It seems to me that AI is much more mechanical and lacks that emotional part of the equation that a human being has. That's just my opinion on that. Okay, let's take a look at some of these companies here that have reported. Well, Samsung begins their commercial shipment of the HBM4. And that's the one that is in such great shortage, and I did find a way to play that Samsung. And the other one is called the SK Hynix, which doesn't even trade. You can't even trade it at all, but it is in those two stocks, SK Hynix and Samsung, are in that EWY ETF. In fact, 50% of that South Korea ETF is those two stocks. And they expect to provide some of the HBM4 for the Vera Rubin. If you don't know who Vera Rubin is, that's the latest NVIDIA, whatever you want to call it, community that's going into the data centers.
I thought it was a sandwich. It sounds like
I know.
Great,
give me
like
a Vera. Well, there is a California Reuben, which is turkey and coleslaw instead of corned beef and sauerkraut.
That seems like a bad trade, by the way. I think
I prefer the corned beef and sauerkraut route. A little Swiss cheese and Russian dressing on grilled rye. You can't beat that one. Anthropic is going to cover the electricity price increases from its data centers. So people that live in a neighborhood of a data center, all of a sudden their electricity prices are going up. And Anthropic said, don't worry. Well, this is how desperate they are to get the power that they need to run these data centers. Okay, well, here's your bad news story of the day. Here's a company messing around with their accounting practices. That's never a good thing. Icon, I want to say I might have owned it somewhere during my career. They do contract research for biotechs. a lot of these biotechs, they're not big enough to have their own, do their own, you know, what do you call it, a study, phase one, phase two.
Yeah, trial,
clinical
phase
trials.
One, clinical trial, yeah.
So ICON steps in, and you contract them to get the people, get the enrollees, pay the people, monitor the results, make sure everything is by the books and everything. And it's a pretty good model, actually. It's been a pretty good stock over the years. But, man, it's getting pounded today as there's some questioning their accounting practices. The stock is down 36%.
Yeah, you never, we talk about it all the time, you never want to hear anything earnings revision or accounting issues, right? I mean, yeah, what was the company that's still been kind of coming back from that? That was, I don't know, it was last year. It was tech name. I'll think of it in a minute. But, you know, they really haven't recovered since they, was it, wasn't A&S?
SMCI.
Yeah, SMCI, and they still haven't really, you know, kind of recovered.
Enron never recovered.
No,
they went to jail. And a few others, high profile. Yeah, you don't want to mess around with your books. The books are what they are. It is what it is. These are the numbers. We've added up the numbers. We've subtracted the numbers. Here's the bottom line. It is what it is. Okay, we'll be right back. We'll look at McDonald's. We'll look at a few others that have reported here. Back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, we're going to take a look at a couple of widely held stocks, meaning that a lot of people within our listening audience, podcast audience, etc., might own these stocks. McDonald's weighs in. You know what? They had a really good quarter. What can I say? Their sales were up 10% and their earnings were up 10%. And from what I'm hearing, they're winning the price war. They're knocking a lot of people out with their firepower.
And they're using AI for ordering. So they've been working. Saw something where their AI is potentially can help the order taking, right? Us at the drive through.
Now, if we could just get some consistent quality, a hot product right off the grill, like In-N-Out Burger does. They just can't seem to get that part right. That's just my opinion. But now, how about the stock? It's rare. It's rare that we don't get a portfolio from a very large wirehouse firm, and the person in that owns that portfolio does not have a position in McDonald's. It's one of the most recognizable names and one of the most recognizable brands the world over. Now, how have you done as an investor in McDonald's? About the same as the burger, a little bit on the soggy side, if you ask me. Over the last 10 years, you might say, well, 13%'s not bad, Bill. That's a heck of a lot better than a T-bill, heck of a lot better than passbook savings. 13.3% has been the average return over the last 10 years. But when you compare it to the S&P 500, that's a fair comparison. The S&P has done double that, 27% per year. That makes a big difference over a 10-year period of time. But you could do worse, okay? Now the problem is I'm seeing diminishing returns as they saturate the world, run out of places to grow. Where I see the growth is new communities. For instance, our neck of the woods, we've got some booming communities. Nexton and Somerville are booming. As they grow out, they need to add McDonald's. That's where the growth is in areas that are expanding. It's pretty rare that you see a McDonald's close down. I've seen a lot of Wendy's close down. I've seen a lot of Burger King's close down.
Yep, but not, McDonald's
pretty rare
tends
for
to
a
not.
McDonald's to close down. Now, right. Over the last 3 years, diminishing returns, 9.7% per year, while the S&P's been 23.3. And over the last year, McDonald's is up 7.2. The market's up 14.5. It gets a C+. I grade on the curve. It gets a C+ performance grade. It does hold up better in a bear market than the S&P, however. The last bear market we had was 07 through 09. It was about 15 months or 21 months, something like that. The S&P went down 54.5% during that bear market. That was the financial crisis. McDonald's only went down 1.3%. So it is a little bit bear-proof, but you're giving up a lot, I say, in the opportunity cost by owning something better that's growing. Now, let's take a look at the valuation. We're looking backwards here. We're getting a C-plus grade on the performance of the stock. I have a target price 5 years out. I'm putting in 7% growth. They just had a 10% quarter, but if you look at their annual growth lately, you know, maybe you could stretch it a little bit. Maybe 7, 8, 9 would be at the upper end. Over the last 5 years, it's been 12, but they're slowing down. They've got 43,477 McDonald's worldwide. They opened 2,100 in 2024. So you can see, I mean, that's what, 4 or 5% growth as far as new McDonald's, new buildings. I come up with 49% upside potential over the next 5 years, which is a value grade of F+. F+. We're just grading on the curve here, you know. There's a lot better. I have McDonald's is a strong hold. You know, somebody asked me, why don't you just do buy, sell, or hold? Well, I use gradations. There's a big difference between a strong buy and a weak buy and a buy. I have three gradations of buy. And I have three gradations of hold. I have a strong hold, I have a hold, and I have a weak hold. That's because my artificial intelligence that I built into the app is able to create those gradations. And there's a big difference, believe it or not, between a strong hold and a hold. A hold is just absolutely neutral, dead in the water. So McDonald's is just a little bit better than a hold right now. Now you have to say, I've got $200,000 in my IRA. Do I want to devote $10,000 or $5,000 to owning McDonald's? Is it one of the best stocks out there in the world today for my portfolio? The other one I want to talk about is another one that is almost always in a large wirehouse portfolio, and that's Cisco. And I think I consider Cisco, they've gotten a little bit of new life with AI, but they're mostly involved with telecom. And that's AT&T and that's Verizon, and that's not as a booming much of a booming industry as AI is. Cisco is one of the reasons why the Nasdaq is now down today. Cisco's down 11%. As they missed earnings, they guided, and the guidance was bad. I wouldn't use up space in my portfolio. I wouldn't have 5,000, 10,000. I wouldn't have any exposure to Cisco because it has even worse grades, worse performance, worse valuation than McDonald's has. Okay, well, we're out of time. Hopefully you learned something here during this exercise, during this show. Houston's coming up to reserve a one-hour spot with us or a seat at the workshop. Call us at 855-611-BEST to talk to us about portfolio management. 855-611-BEST to see what we own currently, to get 4 weeks of the newsletter and the portfolios, the model portfolios. GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.